Good morning. My name is Dan Brown, and I'm a deacon on the church council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community who shares in God's love, builds bridges, and inspires spiritual transformation. We are a community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcomed here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all of you, those of you who join us through our website at zionlesueur.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign our guest card in the front of your pews so that we can personally greet you. Finally, please fill out prayer requests and turn them in to the usher. The radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. Please join us Thursday for the Maundy Thursday service, beginning at 6:30 p.m., and the Good Friday service that will also be held at Zion, beginning at 6:30 p.m. also. Minnesota Food Share campaign runs through April 6th, next Monday. The Leesuer Food Shelf relies on the generosity of the community to keep the shelves stocked with healthy food. During this time, all food and funds collected will be proportionally matched. The more that is collected, the greater the match. This year's Easter offering will be divided between the Leesuer Backpack Program and the CADA Alliance. Envelopes were included in the Zion Herald that was sent out or are available in the pews. We will be collecting next Sunday. To help Pastor Sana get to know everyone, please wear your name tag. If you don't have one, please leave your name on the page near the name tag holder. Join us Easter Sunday. We will be having two services: a 7 a.m. early Easter sunrise meditation service, followed by breakfast and an Easter egg hunt. It will be a blast. We will also be having our usual 9 a.m. Easter service with communion. Rejoice in the victory of resurrection. Worship with us as we celebrate the risen Lord. Invite friends and family to join you for this sacred week of worship. Your financial support to the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us prepare for worship.
It was Passover, and Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem. As they drew near, a great crowd gathered around. They had heard of this Jesus, heard tales of his teachings and miracles. They cut palm branches and spread them on the road before him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." But he was a king like no other king. He wasn't there as a conqueror. He wasn't there to defeat their enemies or to bring them glory. He came humbly, speaking of love and salvation. He wasn't there to establish an earthly kingdom, to rule the world with strength and might. His kingdom was in us, in our hearts and minds. His kingdom was the grace and forgiveness that changes lives, that sets souls free from the chains of sin and shame. He didn't come to sit high on a gilded throne. He came as a sacrifice to pay the price we could never pay, to give himself up for us, to lay down his life so we could live eternally with him. So today, we welcome King Jesus. We invite him here into our church, our homes, our hearts. We cry out, "Hosanna, Lord, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." He is Jesus Christ. He is our King.
Good morning and welcome to Zion. Good morning. I'm Pastor Sana. This is my second Sunday. In case you weren't here last week, I did check roll, so I'm just kidding. I'm grateful to worship with you this morning. Whether this is your first time or you've been a part of our family for a while, we're glad you're here today. Today is Palm Sunday. That's where we have palms. And it's the beginning of Holy Week. Let us lay down our hurry for the week. Take a couple of deep breaths. Let your heart and mind settle in the presence of God. Please join me in the call to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. Lift up your heads, O mighty gates.
The King of glory may enter.
Bless he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Let us celebrate the songs of the Lord.
This is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
That was wonderful. Our worry, our sorrow, our shame, our guilt, our grief. Let us surrender it all to the one who loves us beyond measure, the one who heals us, and the one who makes us whole. Let us pray first in silence. O God, in Jesus Christ, you were greeted with shouts of joy in Jerusalem. But in the end of the week brought pain, sorrow, and rejection. Forgive us that we did not understand. Those brief moments of triumph were proclaimed by those who did not understand your mission. Even those of us who claim to be Christian would rush from the excitement of Palm Sunday to the joy of Easter. In so doing, we forget to walk the way of the cross, brushing past the suffering and ignoring the reality of death. Forgive us, God, and help us to walk in the footsteps of Christ our Savior, knowing that we do so we may fully claim the joy of Easter. Amen. My friends, God is not done with us, not by a long shot. You and I are beloved more than you can ever imagine. God is working in you and in this world beyond our wildest imagination. The beginning of all that is forgiveness. So know that you are indeed forgiven. So be in peace. Amen. Of course, I already forgot about the prayer cards. So if you haven't had an opportunity, please fill a prayer request card and give it to the usher while we share the peace. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. The peace of the Lord be with you always." Let us share the peace with one another.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is Psalm 118, verses 1 to 2 and 19 through 29. Give thanks to the Lord because God is good, because God's faithful love lasts forever. Let Israel say it. God's faithful love lasts forever. Open the gates of righteousness for me, so I can come in and give thanks to the Lord. This is the Lord's gate. Those who are righteous enter through it. I thank you because you answered me, because you are my saving help. The stone rejected by the builders is now the main foundation stone. This has happened because of the Lord. It is astounding in our sight. This is the day the Lord acted. We will rejoice and celebrate in it. Lord, please save us. Lord, please let us succeed. The one who enters in the Lord's name is blessed. We bless all of you from the Lord's house. The Lord is God. God has shined a light on us. So lead the festival offering with ropes, all the way to the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will lift you up high. Give thanks to the Lord because God is good, because his faithful love lasts forever. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from Matthew. Which I don't have. Thought it was in here. Who has a Bible? It's on the screen. I can barely see it. Okay. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that your master needs them." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said, "Say to the daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answer, "It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Then Jesus went into the temple. Oh, that was it. I think it's just to 11, right? Yes. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Okay. This is my first time in children's time, so pray for me right now. Okay. The children or the young at heart, come join me. I took a shower this morning, so I'm good. Oh, who? We're gonna grab this. Yeah, thank that. Can you give everybody a crown? Because we're going to talk about kings today. Oh, I have one too. Can I have one? Oh, this one's too. I have a big head, so I think I made them all small. Here, you can have one. Do you want one? Perfect. All right. So, who has heard of the story of Palm Sunday? Anybody? Why do you think we're carrying around branches? Does anybody know? No? Okay, so today is Palm Sunday, and it's the beginning of Holy Week. What's next Sunday? Do you know what's next Sunday? Anybody can answer. Easter. Yes, so today is the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem. Jesus and his had his friends find a donkey for him to ride on. He got on the donkey, right, and people threw their clothing on the floor. And they also threw down branches. That's why we have these branches. And they sang, Hosanna. Who knows what that means? We have lots of participants. Anybody can answer. No, it means, what does it mean? Okay, it means save us now, save us now. And so people think actually that it is a praise, that it's like alleluia, but it's not. It means save us now. So they were having like a big parade, right? People said Jesus was the king of the Jews, and Jesus told them stories about the kingdom of heaven where he is king. Now, maybe you're thinking, how can Jesus be king? We don't have kings in this country. Is Jesus, what kind, if Jesus is king, what kind of king is he? What kind of king is he? Anybody know? The kind, a loving king?
Kind.
Peaceful. I'm sorry? King of all kings, a king of justice, yes. Jesus told the governor, Pilate, I'm not the kind of king you're used to. My kingdom is not like the kingdom in this world. And so he asked, what kind of king are you? He says, here's the thing. King and kingdom are earthly words. I'm more of a heaven sort of king. My kingdom is about knowing what's really true. The people who love the truth hear my voice and follow me. So, I have a question for you. What do you think about this king, this heavenly king? Have you ever heard Jesus tell you the truth? Nobody? We're in trouble. Nobody? Who would like to live in Jesus' kingdom? Perfect. Perfect. Good. Okay, let us pray. Dear Jesus, repeat after me. Thank you for riding into Jerusalem on a donkey to be our king.
I wave my branch to say Hosanna.
I am glad you're my friend. Help me to follow you this week.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You can go back to your seats. You can keep the crown. I believe everyone should have a crown. Okay, so last week people thought I was crying because I was wiping my face. I'm perimenopausal and I get hot. People, I know, TMI, but someone kindly said they could bring me a fan and I'm not going to object to it, okay? So just so you know, I might have to do this occasionally. And if I'm wiping myself, it's probably because I'm sweating. Okay, just to be clear. I do cry occasionally. Okay, let us pray. Thank you, God, for the living word. May it become the living word among us, within us, and beyond us. I ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive your word this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I tried to make this short, okay? Because I knew we had a long. Let's pray. Okay. I have a confession to make. This is my first time preaching on Palm Sunday. I believe this time last year, Pastor Jan was celebrating 40 years of ordained ministry. Yay. I will be ordained next month in Minneapolis. And you are all invited.
So you hired yourself a relative newbie who I hope and pray brings you a fresh perspective on ancient sacred texts that defines our faith. So if you've been here for a while, you've probably heard today's gospel story, at least one version of it, because all four gospels have it. It's the story of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Palm Sunday is a nice story. We Minnesotans like nice stories. And this nice story is about Jesus coming into town in the name of God. It's a celebration story. Many churches commemorate with waving branches and doing a little parade, which I thought was going to happen, but okay, did not happen. Maybe after we'll have a march around, maybe. So at this time, there are two parades going on in Jerusalem. The second parade, not mentioned in scripture, is happening on the other side of town because it was customary for Roman governors to be in town during major Jewish festivals. And this is where the story gets interesting. As a seminary-trained pastor, I'd like to understand the context or the circumstances surrounding the text I'm reading. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to me. As you can imagine, 100 years ago, people didn't know what mobile phones were, and they couldn't understand if you said, "Send me a text message." So you can't understand the concept of texting unless you understand cell phones and the culture we live in today. The same is true for the Palm Sunday scripture. We have to get a sense of the world that Jesus lived in, what his entry into Jerusalem meant to the people, and what it really means to us now as followers of Christ. So Palm Sunday is kind of treated like a preliminary story that sets the stage for Easter. But I think it's much more important than that. This story has its own significance while it helps us understand the background of what's going on during Jesus' time. My prayer is that if we understand the context of Jesus' circumstances, we will have a deeper, richer, fuller understanding of the meaning of Jesus' life, teachings, and faith. So Jesus started his ministry in Galilee, which is to the north of Jerusalem. Let me not pretend I'm really bad with directions. I'm just, you know. So he's to the north of Jerusalem. You may remember that in Galilee, Jesus encountered opposition from powerful men. We read in Matthew and Mark that the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Herodians plotted against him because he was challenging them and their authority. Jesus even called the Pharisees and Sadducees, which, by the way, are his people, okay, broad of vipers. He said this to condemn the religious elite's hypocrisy, their wickedness, and their corrupted hearts. He was contrasting their outward religious appearance with their inward evil. If Jesus encountered opposition in the north, he certainly encountered hostility in Jerusalem, which was the south. The gospel writers has Jesus constantly reminding his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and he will be delivered into the hands of men to be killed. So Jesus seemed to understand that this journey he was taking into Jerusalem was a dangerous one, a life-threatening one. In today's scripture, it is now Passover, and Jesus, because he's Jewish, and like many Jews, was headed to Jerusalem for Passover festival. Pilgrims from all over came to make sacrifices and remind themselves of the story when God liberated them from Egypt, throwing horses and riders into the sea and leading one slave into salvation. During Passover, the population in Jerusalem grew from 20,000 people to 200,000 people. And a lot of people came to the festival. It was a very rowdy event. So many people came out to greet Jesus as he entered the city from the east. The disciples laid their garments on the donkey as a saddle, and the people in the crowd laid their garments and branches on their dusty road like a carpet. Why are they doing this? What is the significance of this ritual, I wonder? See, this isn't the first time something like this took place. The Jewish people did this same thing with Judas Maccabees when he reestablished the temple in Jerusalem about 150 years before Jesus. They did it when his brother Simon took possession of Jerusalem, and the people thought Israel had won and their independence. Both times, people used palm branches as they used palm fronds as their symbol of victory and triumph and kingship. So in this scene, Jesus comes into town and the crowd is shouting, King of Israel, while carrying branches. And this is reminiscent of the Maccabean rebellion. They say Jesus is king, and by king they mean a national liberator. See, in the Hebrew understanding of kingship, a leader upholds justice and has a strong military to defend against enemies. In Hebrew scripture, a good king is powerful and warlike. So the crowd surrounding Jesus is waiting for that type of leader, a strong king who was a powerful and will reestablish Israel as an independent nation. Keep that in mind. Okay, Hosanna is about being powerful and free again. King David was that leader, a powerful, violent, religious, political, and military leader rolled into one. He wiped out his enemies and established a great kingdom for his people. David defeated the Jebusites and marched triumphantly into Jerusalem, and it was later named the City of David. Although about 1,000 years later, here comes Jesus making a triumph entry into Jerusalem, the City of David, the center of the Jewish people, on a donkey. As Jesus came, the crowd shouted, Hosanna to the King of Israel, and Hosanna to the Son of David. So let me be clear, like I mentioned earlier, Hosanna does not mean Alleluia, as many people think. It is not an expression of praise. Hosanna in Hebrew means, save us now, please save us. The crowd wasn't shouting praises to Jesus. The crowd was begging Jesus to save them. Now use your imagination. You can sense the excitement, the expectation in the air. The crowd is thinking, perhaps this is the one, perhaps this is the David who will set us free from our enemies. Who are their enemies? Well, Rome. Rome is the occupying imperial power. The Roman Empire ruled directly through Herod, a Jewish ruler who crushed all resistance in Judah with the help of Roman soldiers. Herod was rewarded by being declared the king of Judea. And although Herod was Jewish, he served the Roman emperor. Herod was a perfect client king. He was young, ambitious, opportunistic, and brutal. He set up an entirely repressive regime, complete with mercenary soldiers and a secret police. King Herod made serious opposition nearly impossible for the average Jew. King Herod also did a great job of extracting wealth from his people for the Roman Empire. The people were quite literally taxed to death. And if you were unable to pay, you lost your land. And others who fell into debt became slave laborers. And of course, King Herod took a cut to enrich himself and build an extremely lavish court. But most importantly, King Herod understood the power of controlling people through religion. He replaced the priestly class with his own people. These were the Sadducees. Herod chose religious leaders and practiced a religion that focused on piety and holiness, on individual forgiveness and atonement. But this religion did not include things like defending the widow and protecting the orphan, breaking the cycle of debt, and ensuring a fair distribution of God's land. King Herod and his Sadducees were not interested in justice as commanded in the Hebrew scripture. Instead, they represented a system of violent oppression that upheld brutal Roman Empire. supporting a system that of domination that produced great wealth for a tiny elite and extreme poverty and despair for the overwhelmed majority. In short, Rome allowed the Jews to operate their own religion through King Herod and the religious elite, as long as they helped with tributes and maintained order. So this is the society Jesus is born into. And only 4 years before his birth, in his hometown of Nazareth, armed Jews took control of the arsenal of royal palace in Sepphoris. After Roman troops eventually put down that protest, the Roman general hunted down the leaders of the rebellion and crucified 2,000 Jews and lined them on the streets of the, to defer future protesters. Jesus knew about this and saw this. So Jesus and the crowd understood the violence and tyranny of the Roman Empire and what they were capable of. They were reminded of that every day. And in spite of this, Jesus was not deterred. Jesus, who clearly was engaging in street theater, entering Jerusalem on a donkey, fulfilling prophecy while contrasting the gentle, nonviolent God he served with the power and violence that the Roman Empire represented. Because Rome did not love it when their subjects got together to tell stories of overthrowing an oppressive empire, which is what Passover is all about. The governor made this big show of riding into Jerusalem with armed horses and fanfare and banners and all the military stuff. It would remind everyone who lived there and everyone who was visiting who was actually in charge. And it wasn't the temple. It wasn't the priests. It was Rome and its powerful army. So here we have two parades. The Roman governor of Judea entered the city from the west as the grand marshal of the imperial procession, which included war horses, weapons, soldiers, and they were singing war hymns. While Jesus rides in from the east on a humble donkey, with peasants singing, "Hosanna, save us, save us, save us, please, from Rome." See, Jesus' noisy supporters weren't asking for some sort of spiritual salvation, for a place in heaven or eternal life. They wanted to be saved from Rome, okay? They wanted real peace. They knew no peace. They only knew death and misery. "Hosanna, free us, we beg you. Deliver us from the misery of Rome." See, we like to tell this story of Jesus' triumph entrance into Jerusalem as a way to check off the boxes that, in fact, this is the Messiah. Yes, this story places Jesus firmly in the prophetic tradition. The prophet Zechariah wrote, "Your king comes to you humble and riding on a donkey." And then it says, "He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem." The prophet is trying to tell us that Jesus had a different reign, a reign that was contrary to Rome, contrary to war, contrary to empire. Our common understanding of Palm Sunday is that Jesus was fulfilling a prophecy as a king arriving on a donkey. The Jewish crowd knew this prophecy well, as they were marginalized, oppressed, and had national hopes that this king, King Jesus, would bring back the good old days and make Israel great again. But the crowd didn't expect a different kind of king, a servant leader who trusted God. They didn't expect a leader whose religion focused on love and mercy and nonviolence. A teacher who said Sabbath laws and purity rituals were an obstacle for practicing the kind of compassion that God required. An obstacle to justice and a tool of an oppressive regime. Jesus proclaimed a very different kind of religion. The kingdom of God marked by justice and mercy. He called for nonviolent resistance and a just distribution of land and food. In and through Jesus, we see a God who is not powerful, at least not in the conventional sense. The life of Jesus reveals a different nature of God, a God who we often abandon, but who never abandons us. A God who stands up for humanity, who calls forth justice, who courageously loves and suffers when we suffer. And because Jesus proclaimed a different kind of kingship and a different kind of kingdom marked by justice and nonviolence, he was a direct threat to Rome. The crowd that laid down palm branches and shouted Hosanna to the highest at the start of the Holy Week would turn on Jesus by the end. But who could blame them? Jesus' nonviolent call for love, justice, and mercy threatened Rome's power and stability, and in turn threatened their own lives. See, I imagine the crowd wanted to protect the little safety and stability they think they had. Once their hoped-for savior is arrested, the reality of the situation becomes clear. No amount of hosannas can free Jesus from his fate. But the crowd could still save themselves and hope better for the next promising savior. They did what fearful subjects of a brutal regime usually do. They protected themselves from being crucified. So now that I've painted a fuller picture of Palm Sunday and Jesus' context, does this sound familiar to you? Does any of this sound familiar to you? When you imagine Jesus as king, what do you mean by it? What kind of king is he for you? King over what? Can you imagine this Palm Sunday as a protest? And a protest against what? Or for what? Who is this Jesus that we are following, and what is he leading us to? The Messiah that the crowd awaited was a king who would bring about, they waited for a king that would bring about regime change, who would overthrow the power, who would return Jewish rule. But Jesus brought a different way, a more lasting, more enduring, deeper change. A true transformation of the very nature of who we are as God's children. Wilda Gaffney says this, "Heir to a majesty, the word kingdom does not fully contain that Jesus came to love us into life, a life that transcends death. Jesus came knowing that love with no limitations or preconditions is terrifying for those whose only currency is fear and death. And he came anyway. Jesus came to be with us as God, as us, God with us. He came knowing the cost of his radical life and love would be brutality and conviction in a crooked court by an unjust judge and shameful, painful, humiliating death. So I ask you, will you follow this Jesus to the cross, or will you abandon him like the crowd did? May it be so. Amen." Now we will sing, "Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus." Just, it's an insert in your bulletin. Okay, let's take a deep breath. That was a really heavy sermon. We are going to pray now. First, I want to just share the prayers that were shared. Happy birthday to Keith Lemires. It was Saturday. Happy birthday, Keith. And tomorrow, it's Sylvia Denser's birthday. Happy birthday. Yesterday was my son's birthday, 12. His name is Tonio. Prayer for the family of Dan Modert. And prayer, I think, who passed, right? And prayer for the family of Dorothy Rebel, also who passed. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we approach Holy Week, hearing again the story of Christ's passion, may it help us to truly understand the sacrifice Jesus made. Take into our hearts the needs and concerns of us, your children, and hear us as we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As Jesus confronted the powers and principalities of the world, kings, emperors, and authorities of religion and state, empower us to unmask all injustice, violence, and greed. We pray for all world leaders at this current time of uncertainty that they make the right decisions. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, please help us to show up for others in their greatest time of need. Help us forgive those who have wounded and abandoned us in times of crisis. Cleanse our hearts from bitterness and resentment so that we can be more like Jesus, who was abandoned and betrayed by those closest to him. Lord, in your mercy. As Jesus became one with the poor, the outcast, and the dying, so send your resurrection grace to all who suffer, that they may be comforted by the promise of your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Living God, be with us in this community that we may be people of compassion and peace, willing to embrace the marginalized and the suffering, bringing them into your healing presence. We pray for all who bring comfort, caring, and healing as we bring before you those who are in need, who are sick, suffering, those who are lonely, those who have recently passed, and those who are bereaved by their passing. Lord, in your mercy. As Jesus emptied himself, humbling himself, and being obedient to the point of death, so inspire your church, us, to follow faithfully in the way that he has led us, that we may share in his resurrection. Send us out into Holy Week, commending all whom we meet in your mercy and with your protection. Lord, in your mercy. God, accept all these prayers, and as we remember the prayer that Jesus taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as though those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Gracious God, you are the giver and provider of all things. We give thanks for who you are and what you have given. We ask this offering, honor your name. Amen.